Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Pastor asked me last week if I could preach. The Lord laid on my heart not too long after that to preach a message on forgiveness, and so that is what we're going to be looking at tonight is forgiveness. And the title of this message is going to be the freedom. There's freedom in forgiveness. Freedom in forgiveness. Like I said, the Lord just laid it on my heart to preach a message on forgiveness, and through the study, the Lord led me to Matthew chapter 18, and that's where we're going to be kind of basing out of here for the message. So Matthew chapter 18. Give me a drink of water before I get started. And turn the mic on. Knew I was going to forget something. All right, Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him unto him. And verse 35, So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Let's go ahead and pray. Open in prayer tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for, Lord, allowing me to do this and preach tonight. And Lord, I do believe that you laid this on my heart. I pray that for whatever reason, Lord, that your word would go out tonight to the ones, Lord, we all need this, but Lord, just if there's anybody struggling with this, Lord, especially, Lord, that you would touch their hearts tonight. Lord, just if nothing else, a reminder, Lord, that you have forgiven us a great debt and that we need to forgive others the same way, Lord. We just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Freedom in forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of those things. It's not if you're going to encounter it, it's when. Forgiveness is something that we're all going to have to either forgive somebody for something they did against us, or we're going to have to ask for forgiveness. If you come to this church long enough, Matt McDonald is going to offend you over something. Just count it. But I can ask him for forgiveness anyway. So anyway, it's a matter of time before someone's going to either offend you or you're going to have to ask forgiveness of someone else. Whether it be a fellow brother in Christ, sister in Christ in the church, whether it be your own family, brother and sister, husband and wife, the truth is offenses come sometimes on a daily basis. And forgiveness is something we need to learn early on. We need to learn this quickly, because it'll lead in a very a bad direction if we do not forgive. The truth is we cannot go forward in our Christian life unless we forgive the offenses that come against us. And I hope we'll see that in the message here. And if we do not forgive, we are going to soon find ourselves in a very desperate place of bitterness and resentment to others. So tonight I'm going to look at the when, how, and why to forgive as kind of the main points here. When, how, and why to forgive, and just kind of laid out in Matthew chapter 18 there is how I kind of have those in order. But first, by way of introduction, I wanted to focus for a minute on or remember the great debt that we've been forgiven. I cannot read this parable of this king and his servants, of course, without thinking of the great debt that I have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. So first we must remember the magnitude of forgiveness God bestowed on us. If you remember that song, we owed a debt we could not pay. And he paid a debt he did not owe. We need to remember that we owed a greater debt to someone else, and that was to God. So we see in this story, we see the servant here being brought before the king, and the king he's requiring of his servants, and he finds this man, he owes him this great debt. Now, in the scripture here, we see that it's a debt of 10,000 talents. Now, the best way I could figure out what I've read and whatnot, that would be the equivalent of what someone would make in about 15 years of their life in this time. So it's a great debt. It's really a great debt. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in our day, maybe even millions. It's a great debt that this servant owes the king. And then we go down here, we see the servant, he is brought before the king, and the king has compassion on him, and he forgives him that great debt. Completely just wipes it out, completely forgives him. And that, and we see that servant then going out and seeing a fellow servant, and we see him take this man by the throat that owed him only 100 pence. Now, the best way I can figure reading as well, this was about a day's wage. About a day's wage. So, the comparison is this great debt this man owed the king. And in reality, this man really could not pay this debt. If you think of it, I mean, I was thinking about it. 15 years of wages for me. If I owed somebody that, I would probably lose hope pretty quickly. Unless the Lord just dropped it in my lap, which he could. But the point is, there's really no comparison between the two. This man that owed the day's wages, you know, he could have repaid that in a little bit of time. You know, it might have taken him a little while, but he could have repaid it. But I believe from this example, Jesus Christ is trying to show his disciples this, that the offenses that we will have to forgive right now are nothing compared to what God has forgiven us. The comparison, you can't compare it. There is no comparison what God has forgiven us and what we're going to have to forgive each other. Look with me. You can turn there if you want to read Romans 4:25. And again, this is just by way of introduction here. Romans 4:25 says, who was, speaking of Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You've heard the definition of justified as if I've never sinned. We stand before God justified, just like we've never sinned, because Christ was delivered for our offenses. And then in chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. The only reason we can stand before God today and have peace with God is because Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered. And we can now stand before God just like we have never sinned, because Christ was delivered for our offenses. And God forgave us our great offense. And I think of the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, our debt, I think of, you know, before I was saved, you know, my the wages of sin is death. That wage every day was growing. The debt was piling up, and that debt for me was hopeless to repay. I could not repay that debt. The only way I could repay that debt by myself was to die and spend eternity in hell. And trying to repay that debt, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this parable is really a great picture of how we stand before God today. If you're saved today, you stand before God forgiven, justified. And I think this is a very important part of recognizing first forgiveness and how to forgive is to look to Jesus Christ as an example. So as we look at the different points of forgiveness, we must first remember that Christ is the example. Colossians 3:13 says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." We're commanded to forgive as Christ forgave us. Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." We are to forgive others as Christ forgave us. It's commanded. We are commanded to forgive others. Like I said, there's no doubt that before the week's out, you're probably going to have to forgive somebody over something. I'll probably have to ask for forgiveness. This is something that comes up a lot. So as we go into the first point here, when to forgive? When to forgive? The answer to that simply is every time. When to forgive? Every time. Peter here, verse 21, Peter is coming and says to Jesus, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." So Peter here, he's coming to Christ, and he's saying, how oft should I forgive my brother? If my brother offend me, if he does some wrong against me, how many times do I need to forgive him, before I can just pile him? How many times can I get away with it? Or how many times can he get away with it? But we see here that Christ responds in a totally different way than Peter probably was anticipating. What I've read so far and understand is at this time, the rabbis taught the people that they only needed to forgive 1 to 3 times and no more. They didn't need to forgive more than between 1 to 3. There's references of them teaching that. And so Peter here, he's thinking, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to say 7 times. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to double that and add one. And Peter's thinking that, 7 times, that should be enough. But Christ responds, no, until 7 times 7. And the point that Christ is trying to get across here is this. If we put a limit on forgiving, we tend to be focused on the limit and not the forgiving. If I was to have someone here that just kept coming to me and offended me in one specific way, and I knew I only had to forgive them 3 times, I'd probably more so focus on after the third time than I would be to actually forgive them. We're tempted to focus on the limit of forgiveness rather than the forgiveness. But when there is no limit on forgiveness, we tend to have more of a forgiving attitude. So Christ is trying to get across here, by the 70 times, so 490 times, by the time you get to the end of 490 times, you're going to forget how many times you've forgiven. And you're going to keep forgiving that brother. I don't know of anybody here that I've had to forgive, and I've kept count. It just, I haven't done that. I don't think anybody here has either. But the point is, there is no limit. There is no limit on forgiveness. Christ forgave us. And he is forgiving. He does forgive us every time. Christ forgives us every time. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Remember again, Christ is the example. We're commanded to forgive others as Christ forgave us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." So he's saying here, he's writing all these things to say, we are not to sin. We should not sin. The Christian should not sin. He's exhorting the Christian not to sin. But he says here also, it says, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." So yes, the Christian's life should be a life of no sin. It should be a life with no sin. That's what Christ desires for us. Christ desires us to live the Christian life without sin. Now, we know that many times we fail and we fall short in our Christian walk. We fall short, we do sin. And Christ says, you have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. And of course, we know it's Jesus Christ, like we talked about. He was delivered for our offenses. And how often does Christ forgive us when we come before him to advocate for us? In 1 John 1, 9, back before, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So how often does Jesus Christ forgive us? Every time. He's faithful. He's faithful. He doesn't miss. He doesn't take a break from forgiving. So how are we, or when are we to forgive? Every time. Every time. He is faithful. Just like Christ is faithful to forgive us, we are to forgive others of their trespasses. Now as we look forward here, back to Luke chapter 18. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 18. Not only are we to forgive every time, we also see that, I believe we can see in this chapter, how to forgive. How to forgive. And look in verse 27 of Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 27. Says, "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." So we see, the servant, he knows he owes a great debt. He knows that this is a great debt. He comes before the king here, and he says, "Be patient with me. I'll pay you back the debt." And I think he's being optimistic here when he says, "I'll pay you back the debt." He's really in a hopeless situation, and even to the point of his wife and his children being taken and sold to pay this debt. And we see the Lord of that servant, he was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. And it doesn't say that he forgave part of the debt. It says he forgave him the debt. He forgave it, and he was moved with compassion. I believe the way we should forgive should be a complete forgiveness. A complete forgiveness. Not a partial forgiveness, like too many times we do. And how do we have a complete forgiveness? I think it's through compassion, through love, love for God and love for others. When we don't forgive completely, we usually have a selfish motive in mind. So we see here the servant was forgiven all. And just as the servant was forgiven all, Christ forgave all our trespasses. Look over in Colossians with me, Colossians 2:13. I think this really illustrates this well. Colossians 2:13. We'll read, first I have to find Colossians. It's always amazing how when you get up to preach, different books disappear on you. We'll read out of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14. And it says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Verse 14, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." You notice there, it says, he forgiven you all trespasses. Christ didn't just forgive us of some, he forgave us of all. His forgiveness is a complete forgiveness. There is no holding back with Christ. So forgiving from the heart with no strings attached, it will loosen us from the spirit of vengeance. You know, too often, I think we try to hold on to part of that hurt that we're trying to have forgiven. And we look at someone and say we forgive them, but we hold on to some strings that are attached there. We try to use it against that person. We have vengeance towards that person. But Christ says, forgive all. We need to forgive all. If somebody offends you, you need to completely forgive them and wipe it clean with no strings attached. I found a couple quotes here I really liked. One quote here says this, "I can forgive, but I cannot forget," is only another way of saying, "I will not forget," or forgive. Forgiveness ought to be like a canceled note, torn in two and burned up so that it never can be shown against one. To say, "I can forgive, but not forget," is just like saying, "I won't forget." Forgiveness should be a complete forgiveness and a forgetting forgiveness. You should forget the wrong that was done to you. Now, it's hard sometimes to forget that, but the Lord can help. And so two ways here, I believe, we see how to forgive. One is complete forgiveness, and then also from the heart. Look in Matthew chapter 18 there again in verse 35, the last verse of this parable. And it's talking about the servant here that would not forgive. He comes before him in verse 34 and says, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." And in verse 35 it says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass." The key, I think, to forgiveness is have forgiveness from the heart. Like I said, many times we can have the idea or the motive to forgive from the mind, but if we don't forgive from the heart, we're just hurting ourselves. We are going to, you know, and the person that offended you, they're probably going to walk away happy, but you are harboring something in your heart that you did not let go. We must forgive from the heart. Too many times we say we forgive, but we hold on to the hurt. I've seen this in my own life. You can look at somebody in the face and say, "I forgive you," but you know in your heart there's something still there. There's something you didn't let go, and that's got to be taken care of before you can move on. And you can also, I believe, you can also tell yourself that you forgave someone, and still in your heart there's something wrong. You can tell your mind, you can tell yourself that you forgave, but there's still something there in your heart. There's still that bondage. Remember, we're talking about freedom and forgiveness. The opposite of freedom and forgiveness is bondage and unforgiveness. Bondage and unforgiveness. So we must forgive from the heart. Too many times we hold on to the hurt. You know, I was thinking about children and how they forgive. You know, kind of funny, but if you think of it, there's two groups of people that truly forget when they forgive, and that would be like the babies in the nursery and those in Alzheimer's wards. You think of the babies in the nursery, I'm sure the nursery workers would tell you there's many offenses going on in there. You got toys flying everywhere, you got, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And we deal with this with our own kids. You know, you have, they're playing together, and before you know it, one of them hit the other one over the head with a toy or whatever, and there's lots of tears and everything's going on. And you get them together, they forgive each other, and life goes on, they forget about it. That is how we should forgive. You know, if you were to ask that child 10 minutes later, he probably would not even remember. We need to forget, try to forget those past offenses and move on. We need to move on. And also, we need to help our children in this area. I know with my children, I've been trying to, when they have a offense against each other, if they're bickering and fighting against each other, they come running to me, and they want the other one to get in trouble. But what I try to do is I want to get them together. I want them to see where they're wrong, and I want them to tell each other that they're sorry. And I want, and you can see it in their eyes, you can see it in their face if they're truly sorry. And typically, they, you know, they'll hug each other, and everything's fine, and they go on and play together. But we need to train our children at a young age to forgive each other, and that'll help them as they grow up to forgive others. Another quote here that I wrote down I thought was good. It says, forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. Many times when we do not forgive from the heart, we're simply making ourselves a prisoner of our own will. Look with me in 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians, I think this is a very important point here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. And this verse can really be applied to everything, forgiveness to sin. Let's look at chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in it readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I thought this when I was studying. If we do not capture our thoughts will capture us. If you don't take your thoughts before Christ and run them and make sure your thoughts are obedient to Christ, the thoughts you're having maybe of unforgiveness, maybe sin, those thoughts come into your life. If you do not take those thoughts before Christ, and it says into captivity, we need to arrest those thoughts and take them straight to Christ. Take them straight there. If you don't, you will soon become captive by your own thoughts. And I've seen it many times. If you don't forgive immediately, it gets harder and harder. Those thoughts keep tormenting you. And the thoughts of vengeance, of unforgiveness keep tormenting you. It's better you just take care of the offense right away. So when we see here how to forgive, firstly, completely, and from the heart. Lastly here, and this point is short, but simply why to forgive. Why even forgive? Well, first of all, as we've seen in the beginning verses, it is commanded. That should be our standard. We should forgive because it's commanded. Christ has forgiven us, so we should forgive others. So first of all, that is the primary reason we should forgive, is because we are commanded. But also, look here back in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 32 and 34, we'll read all three verses here. It says, "This then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." So why should we forgive? Well, just like we were talking about, if you don't forgive, you will, for those who willingly and adamantly will not forgive, they just will not forgive, you will be turned over to the torments of your mind. You'll be turned over to the torments of bitterness and revenge. Like I said, if you harbor bitterness towards someone that offended you and you did not forgive them from the heart, you could be 20 years from now, you could be struggling from the bitterness of that offense. And the simplest little thing can start it all. Don't let yourself be delivered to the tormentors. Of course, these were literal tormentors that this man was going to be delivered to until he was to pay all that he was due. But I think by application, we can see here that when we do not forgive, we are tormented. We are tormented. So, what if a person that offended you never comes to you? What if that person never comes to you? Forgive anyway. Forgive them anyway. Forgive for your own sake. Do not let yourself become bitter because that person does not come to you. You say, well, I'm just waiting for them to show some remorse or come to me. What if they never come? What if they never come? Are you willing to spend the rest of your life living in bitterness over that offense? I hope not. So by way of conclusion here, first of all, we see the great debt that Christ paid for us. We owed a great debt, and Christ paid it on the cross. But also, has someone wronged you? Maybe somebody here tonight, you've been wronged, you've been offended. Like I said, in a church family, it can happen. It can happen a lot. Don't let that offense go unchecked. Go to that person. Go to them. Offer an apology or try to amend the problem. But don't let something that offended you control you the rest of your life. I pray that tonight, if there's anyone that has maybe an unsettled dispute, that they would see the importance of settling that. But so, how are we to forgive? Remember, from the heart in complete forgiveness. So as we close here, I'm going to have Brother Jordan, whoever's coming up, come on up. But during the invitation, I pray that you just ask yourself, is there some offense that I've left unforgiven? Maybe it's so far back that you can't, that it's not something you're always dwelling on, but the bitterness is still there. I pray that we take care of that tonight. I hope that was a blessing tonight.